Rich Wilson, who came out of the pile with it.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
You know what the worst part was?
All of it?
Well, yeah, that. You just heard, courtesy of Fox, that was Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady on the Fox broadcast. You heard that fumble by Mason. As soon as the Cardinals recovered that, there wasn't a bone in my body that thought the Niners were either going to get a stop or go down and score after the Cardinals scored. I thought there was zero chance of winning that game after the fumble.
I was telling Ken behind the scenes, I was like, read option and Kyler Murray, 25-yard touchdown run, game over. Like, this was going to happen. They got the stop. They did their job. Yeah. The defense bent. They didn't break. And then in two plays, it was over. And it's like, oh. Like, this one felt very similar to, yes, the Rams game a couple weeks ago, but that Vikings game in Minnesota last year on Monday Night Football, where Purdy game on the line, marched downfield, you win the game. It was like, you know, two plays later, bang, it's over. And you're like, ugh. And obviously context matters in both those games, but just going over like what this game should have been, had I told you San Francisco was coming off a win against the Patriots, where the offense looked better, the defense looked better, and you're feeling pretty good, right? And they're playing the Cardinals, who got 40, I think it was 42 points put up against them by the Commanders, in which their defense ranks 29th against the pass. They allow the 32nd, so the worst completion percentage allowed in the NFL, and are allowing the third worst quarterback rate in football coming into this game. And Brock Purdy arguably had maybe his worst game of the season.
It was really bad.
You just said, no way. Like, no way. That's not going to happen. No way. And it did. And it's like, what? Like, that's on paper. Like, whether you're previewing a game or you're looking ahead to see, oh, what does this game look like for San Francisco? It's gotten to a point of crumple it up and throw it out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what paper says. This team is not executing on the field, despite having everything on paper working in their favor. Just throw it out the window. Burn it. Rip it up. Don't matter. This paper does not matter with this Niner team currently.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 888-957-9570. That's the phone number. I appreciate everybody who's hung out on hold. Let's get to him now. J-Dog is in Boston. What's up, J-Dog?
Oh, I may have another drink, man. Thank you for taking my call, man. I am the president of the I Hate Kyle Shanahan Fan Club. Love what you guys are doing. I'll go quick because I know you got a whole bunch of people online. I'm just sick and tired of the excuses for the Kyle Shanahan. It's not his fault that the fumbles are being fumbled. The interceptions are being thrown. He's overseeing everything. Kyle Shanahan, how do you go into a special teams room and decide that we're going to be okay on special teams for Sunday when the whole world can see that our special team has been ass for at least 6 years? How do you go in there looking at our defensive line? You know, we got all these bums that you signed, all these bums from Cleveland and the Panthers that come from a culture of losing football. And guess what? Armstead, a guy, then that was a mistake getting rid of Armstead, and Fred Warner played his ass off in the run game behind Armstead, and now you're starting to see that we can't stop the run when we need to stop the run. And this is all on Kyle Shanahan. The right that we can't do nothing in the red zone in the run game unless we have an all-world Christian McCaffrey back there. This is all on Kyle Shanahan. If you're running to McDonald's and the fries are cold every time I go there, I'm not going to the fry guy. I want to speak to the manager. This is on Kyle Shanahan. Open your eyes. I'm sick and tired of this. I didn't want him here in the first place. I don't have to have it my way, but just go by the facts. This roster is stacked, and it's been the most stacked roster for most of his tenure for this Super Bowl run. He doesn't work on situational football. He totally neglects special teams. You know, and this roster is stacked. So anyone can coach this team to an NFC championship and lose a Super Bowl and lose. Look at all these all-pro caliber players that we have. I'm just so sick of the excuses for Kyle Shanahan, and I'm going to be – if I have to be on the island and stand up for the true fans, I'm going to do it.
All you toxic Cal Shanahan supporters, you make me sick. If you see me, stay away. I'm crossing the street. I got Mace. I don't want the Kyle Shanahan virus. I'm so sick and tired of y'all. I can't stand it. You know, and it's not personal. I love the man Kyle Shanahan. But as the decision maker and the head coach of the 49ers, there's a standard when you talk about the San Francisco 49ers, and I'll be damned if I am cool with losing NFC championships and Super Bowls. I'm not cool with that.
Hey, J-Dog, go have another drink, buddy. Appreciate the call. All right, he's out of here. He's yearning for the days of Chip Kelly.
Oh, man. But you know what's so funny? The president of the Kyle Shanahan fan club, or the president of the hate Kyle Shanahan fan club, would want Jim Harbaugh back in a heartbeat, did the exact same thing. And we all love Harbaugh. Great coach. Shouldn't have ended the way it did, but did the exact same thing. Different style of head coaching. Raw, smack your helmet, smack your shoulder pads, rally the troops kind of coaching. Shanahan's not that guy. Fans don't see the coaching Shanahan actually does.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it hard to relate to him or buy into him.
Sure.
Harbaugh, it was like, we'll go to war, brother. I don't even know who you are. I'll pick up my sword and my shield. Let's fight till the death, right? Shanahan, it's like the perception of him, which sometimes it's true, but he didn't make Jordan Mason fumble. He didn't make Purdy throw two picks. Now, like J-Dog said, situationally, we can get into that 100%.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah. Losing big games, totally agree. But not personal player issues. I can't get with that.
Yeah, he's imperfect for sure. And like I said, the start to this year, to me, all eyeballs go to the coaching staff now. If Kyle Shanahan's going to get credit for all the stuff he's gotten credit for, then he's gonna get blame as well. Like I said, as much blame as he deserves for really the first 5 weeks in total, because I don't think the 49ers have looked good. I'm not in the he's got to go yet. A lot of teams would kill to have the success the Niners have had over the last few years. But again, if you're like J-Dog, if you are on J-Dog's island, I all good. Like, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to change your mind. There's nothing Kyle Shanahan's going to do except win a Super Bowl that's going to change your mind. And even then, the people on J-Dog's Island might have a separate non-Kyle Shanahan-related parade. They'll have a parade for Sam Okwuanu and those guys, I guess. Let's get to Eric out in Walnut Creek. Wants to talk about Shanahan's play calling. Eric, what do you got for us, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting us vent. You know, this is...
So we're here for.
It's becoming a theme, man. Like, I don't know what's going on with Shanahan, how he starts the game with a bunch of passing plays. And he did the same thing in Minnesota. Instead of just running the ball, do what you do. Whatever happened to having a quarterback under center for the play action, for the stretch plays. And you know, one of the things is, how much does he really scout himself? Like, his play calls have become really stale. Like, we could almost tell what route's going to be run, what formations, what's going to come out of it. If we could tell more fans, you know, you better believe the defensive players and the coaches know what's coming as well. And being that his play calling requires 7-step drops, a lot of long running routes for Ayuk, wherever, hey, when it's under 2 minutes, 2 minute offense means, hey, you 3 steps, boom, crossing routes, boom, mismatches, boom, make people run into each other. I know we don't have a kicker today, and he hurt himself, and we were, you know, struggling. But even early in the game, we had it was second and goal from the 4 or something like that, if I remember. We end up kicking a field goal before he gets hurt. Why are we not scoring in the red zone? We have so much quote unquote talent, but we can't score in the red zone.
Yep.
That's where the real problem is. You know, he's becoming too predictable. And I'll tell you something, you convert one of those field goals into a touchdown, and this is a completely different game, completely different play calling. And everything else, man. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. And I think you could say that about the red zone for all three of their losses.
Yeah.
You turn one red zone trip. The Vikings game, the 4th and 2, incomplete. 2 plays later, 97-yard touchdown. Like, Niners score a touchdown there, completely different game. Against the Rams, they convert one of their field goal tries into a touchdown in the red zone. Maybe the Rams don't come back and win that game. And certainly the same thing today. I totally agree with Eric. They've got to figure out the red zone stuff. Kyle Shanahan definitely self scouts. Like, I think that's why they're so good in the second half, is because really after their bye week, is because they get a chance to sit down and look at what they're doing and look at what defenses are doing, and get a chance to make adjustments. So that's why I think you're going to see them be better in the second half. But there's also no excuse for them to be this bad, particularly in the red zone in the first half. It's mind-numbing, and to me goes directly to the coach.
You said, I think, that the number after today would be 45%, or that was when they were 1-4, 45%. So let's assume they're around 45% still after being 1-6.
I'll get you an exact number.
Today.
Go ahead.
Like, that would rank 25th in football. That's above Miami that has no quarterback. Denver, Bo Nix, rookie. New England, who you just beat last week, has essentially no quarterback, no disrespect. Matthew Stafford doesn't have his entire offense around him in one of the worst offensive lines in football. Pittsburgh has Justin Fields, which he's okay, but he's not a world beater. The Jaguars are struggling. Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles injury. Then the Chargers. Like, this team should not be this bad. This team is worse than the Giants, than the Titans, than the Bears, than the Cowboys, than the Jets, than the Seahawks, than the Panthers coming into this game in the red zone. Now, some of those teams don't get into the red zone very often, like Carolina, so you can definitely change numbers here or there, but the fact of the matter is this team is executing at a level that is bottom tier.
Yep.
When in the last, I don't know, 5 years, this team has been top five, top 10 in almost every single offensive category. Like, it's gotten to a point of you can't just put a finger on one thing. Hence why the blame goes to Kyle Shanahan. You are in charge of fixing this. You haven't so far. You better do it the next week or so. Because if you don't, your season could be over.
Yep.
That's how drastic this thing is. They lose against Seattle on Thursday and against KC in 2 weeks. You're 2-5. You could be night-night Steph Curry. It's over.
Yep.
You don't want to get there.
Yep. You sure don't. By the way, 40.9%. They are 9 of 22 in the red zone this year. 40.9% would make them 31st in the NFL last season, ahead of only the New York Jets.
With Zach Wilson.
That's the Zach Wilson New York Jets. That's behind the Daniel Jones Giants, the Buccaneers, the Desmond Ridder Falcons, the who's the Vikings quarterback in the second half of last year? Is it Nick Mullins? The Nick Mullins and Company Vikings.
Joshua Dobbs.
whatever the hell the Steelers were doing, whatever the heck the Titans were doing. They are way behind all those teams in red zone percentage this year based on how those teams finished last year. Like, this is a problem for the 49ers, and to me it's up to Kyle Shanahan to figure it out. Speaking of Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offense, RJ was at Levi Stadium today. First of all, RJ, I hope you drank lots of water and stayed hydrated. It looked hot. Like, it just looked it looked miserable. And then the 49ers offense, of course, was not any great shakes in the second half either. What do you got for us, RJ?
I should have just drank more today. That would have been better for me.
No, I think you did. I think you made the right call.
Not a good idea.
that was a horrible game, guys. I mean, obviously, like, honestly, what we saw last week, that high-powered offense of the 49ers, is not what we saw today. Like, we couldn't convert. I mean, we couldn't convert in the red zone. You know, after that J.P. Mason fumble, that took the life out of the stadium. I felt it. You know, I felt like the game was over after that point. You know, and then why is Isaac Yiadom still in there after how many games? He has not proven himself to be a worthy cornerback to be on the field. I mean, we drafted Renardo Green for a reason, for these scenarios, and he's still not in there. That 4th and 5 really killed us, and that would have been game over right there. And I don't know, guys. Jake Moody went out, and we couldn't convert a field goal. It was wraps. You know, I'm coming to realize as a 49ers fan that this we are lucky to be in the wild card. You know, I'm not looking at the division. I hope we could win the division, but to be in the playoffs will be a success for this season. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. Thanks for the call, RJ. Yeah, man, that's tough. Got it. Being like, I was in an air-conditioned building. The people who were out at Levi's today, salute to you for sticking around the whole time and sticking out whatever the heck that performance was. I see somebody here real quick, Sterling. I want to run this by you on the Comcast business text line. I see somebody, the 925, said maybe the talent isn't that great as you guys think they are, or isn't as great as you guys think they are.
Uh, The all pros would say differently.
Yeah, like, I just don't think, I don't think they're just, like, I don't think George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Jordan Mason are just, like, they're not bad at football. Like, I promise. The good,
I promise.
No, no, seriously. No, the problem is the talent from a top-end standpoint, and this is my critique of the 49ers roster going into the year, the top-end talent is great. Nick Bosa, yeah. Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Did I say Nick Bosa? Treverius Ward, Diamador Lenoir, like, their top-end talent's really good. The problem is it's Devondre Campbell is the second starting linebacker. Javon Hargrave goes down, and it's the end of their defense. Leonard Floyd has been terrible. Just a non-factor this year. The last caller, RJ, brought up Isaac Yiadom, who's been okay. He had a nice pass breakup today, but that fourth down, getting beat on that fourth down is really tough. That's the spot you got to come up with a play. Their offensive line hasn't been great. Like they are not nearly as deep, I think, as they've been in the last couple of years, and I think you're really starting to see that come back to bite them.
They are, by all intents and purposes, the best, one of the best rosters in football.
Mm-hmm.
They are that top-heavy, that top-heaviness, those stars, should be able to carry them in games like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming to a point where wins against the Jets and the Patriots, where you score 30-plus points in both those games, those are the outliers. That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And in a season that, I don't want to say is on the ropes, but it kind of is now. Like, you are 2-3. You are now second place, tied with the Cardinals. Now, actually, you're in third place because you lost to the Cardinals in the NFC West. Like, you're not in a good place. And I think that for all the talk of when they lost to the Rams, it was, you know, they're angry. They went home and they didn't like what they saw in the mirror.
Cool.
Okay, well, what happened after the Patriots game? Oh, we're so pleased. Well, any fan would tell you that game, yeah, you won. It was a good win. Got back on track. It wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
That game was, while it wasn't close, there was this weird offensive, like, point in the middle where they weren't scoring points. And that happened again today. You can't score in the red zone. Already an issue. Already hammered at home a handful of times in the show. But this offense goes dead. It goes silent. And in games like this where the opposing offense, Kyler Murray is a darn good quarterback that can do a lot of fun and special things with his arm and his leg. They have weapons. Marvin Harrison Jr., first round pick this year. Michael Wilson's fast out of Sanford. McBride's probably a top five tight end in football. They have an offensive line, I think, had the fourth, the best pressure rate in football. The offense walked in playing relatively good football. Your offense has to carry you in games like this when you think, okay, it might be a shootout. San Francisco's offense, when the defense isn't doing their job in the second half, they can't carry this team anymore. And I don't know why. Like, you are paid to make plays. You know, Herm Edwards says, you play to win the game. No, you are paid to make plays for this offense, and they're not. Yep. Where was Deebo Samuel today? Well, a couple wide back carries and a screen pass, and, well, that's what Deebo does? No. There was a point in time in this game where you said, okay, someone's got to step up offensively. Purdy's kind of floundering. Ayuk's had a big first half. Best game of the year by far. It looks like he's back to form. Where's Deebo? Where's Kittle? Some of those guys got to step up. No one's stepping up. It's like nobody wants to volunteer. It's like, I guess I'll try. But they fail. Games like this are who San Francisco is. Their wins this year, those are the outliers. That's who they want to be.
Yep.
It ain't who they are.
But even after, but even to that point, even after the Jets game, we got on here on overtime and we're like, okay, like, you'll take it. That's a good start. Like, that's a really good start. And then they lose in Minnesota, and then they lose the way they did. But even last week against the Patriots, like, we got on here and we're like, okay, a 30-13 win in the NFL is good, but also, like, do you feel great about this team now?
Yeah,
and none of us really did. It was like, okay, they beat the heck out of a bad team, which is good. That's what you want to do. But it was 23 offensive points, and they had the fumble, and they just kind of looked disjointed on offense in the second half. And now here they are again, where they look disjointed again, and they're facing a team that, hey, didn't have the world's worst offensive line. And, they do have a quarterback who can run around and make some plays. Oh, and they do have a defense that comes up with a couple of takeaways. And that's just, that's kind of what I expected going into this game is, hey, if they don't play better than they did against New England, like, they're going to have a real chance of losing this contest. And they played really well in the first half. You love the first half, and then the wheels just come off. And I don't, you hit the nail on the head, man. Today's performance wasn't the outlier, and that's the problem. Yeah. This just isn't through 5 weeks. Just not that good of a football team, man. And that's a bummer because they have way too many good players to be a team that's been as mid as they are this year.
Had you told me through 5 games you'd be categorizing the San Francisco 49ers as mid, I'd probably want to smack you in the mouth. Like, no way! No way, mid! Come on! But the fact is, San Francisco really hasn't been mid. They've been bad.
Mm.
Like, this is a bad team on third downs, offensively and defensively, albeit first half defense on third down wasn't terrible. Special teams has been terrible all year.
Mm-hmm.
Saved you, got you 7 points today, but then the offense plays bad. Like, mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, they're bad here, they're bad there. This is a holistic, like, you want to zoom out and get the entire picture. It's like, yikes! Like, yeah. Who's doing your job today? The fact of the matter is, in the second half, nobody did their job. No. Not a single soul. Not a single soul did their job in that second half.
No.
And that can happen for a team like this. Ever. Against opponents like the Cardinals and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
These are teams you're supposed to beat. Even when they're fully healthy, like the Rams who aren't, you should still beat those teams. And they beat a team that was run down with no offensive weapons. Like, it is so hard to categorize how really bad this is. Because it's like bottom tier football in the NFL when you should be a top tier team bad.
I guess if you could improve one thing, if you could say, okay, hey, snap your fingers and next week one thing is fixed, what are you fixing?
Ooh, it's a good question. Because my first thought is red zone offense.
Yep.
You put up more points, you scored, you win games, easy. That's NFL, 1.0.
Yep.
Score, you win, right? But then I say, you know what? In previous years, when this team wasn't scoring points with Jimmy Garoppolo, the defense was so darn good getting off the field on third downs. And right. I go, well, CMC might come back in 2 weeks' time. If that can fix the offense, like, sure, the offense immediately getting fixed wins you the game. Wins you all these games, by far. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the answer you're looking for, but it's like, because CMC is like, he might come back, he may not ever. We have no idea with him. You hope?
Yeah.
So I think I'd say the red zone offense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man, because I'm not banking on Christian McCaffrey coming back this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully he does. It sounds like the Niners are kind of it sounds like he's trending that way. Right. Maybe after the bye week. They haven't given a firm timetable, but things are certainly seem to be trending that way. But like right now, any snaps you get with Christian McCaffrey are house money. Like they need to be good enough to figure this out without him. Yep. And if everything is hinging on him, then what are we doing here? That's a pretty major problem. So I think the other answer that jumps out to me is their pass rush, just because that has been really bad this year, and so much of what they want to do defensively is predicated on that pass rush. So if I could snap my fingers and fix something, it might be that, in hopes that they'll figure it out offensively. But I think you're right. That is the most glaring. When you go, okay, let's take this giant pile of things that are wrong. What is the biggest thing in this pile? It's the red zone scoring. There's just no reason they should be as bad in the red area as they are.
Right, and then you think of Christian McCaffrey. He might not fix things, right? Well, you have to play good enough to warrant him even wanting to come back.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great point. Say, hey, dude, like, I'm sitting out. Like, my Achilles is banged up. It's 75%. It's week 10. And we are, I don't know what you'd be at that point. You're 2-5, whatever you are. Hey,
2-6.
Yeah. Like, hey, I'm not coming back. Like, sorry. I'm going to take the entire year off, take the offseason, get healthy, and I'll see you in 2025. Like, San Francisco has to play good enough to even warrant him wanting to return.
Yeah.
Like, that's where things are currently.
Yep. I'm right there with you, man. Your guy with Achilles tendonitis, you're looking at a 2-6 team. you know what? Hey. I'm going to stay over here. I'll keep doing my work on the side field.
He's going to pull a Magic Johnson, like, I'm not going to be here. Sorry. Exactly. Like, no way.
All right. Mike is in Milpitas. We'll get to him shortly. We'll have plenty more on this 49ers loss to the Cardinals. 888-957-9570. That's a Comcast business text line. You can also call that number, 888-957-9570. Let's talk about the disaster today at Levi's Stadium with Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is Overtime on 95.7 The Game.
A lot of time right now.
There's Tommy again.
Cody Jackson floating up there. And it's picked off. Kaiser White grabs it in midair. And the Cardinals are going to hang on and win this game.
Now back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
No Grandy this week, just Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. Got an interesting little quote here for you, Sterling.
Oh.
We'll get to a couple of your calls at 888-957-9570. Definitely want to hear from you. If you want to vent, you got a take. Maybe you got a silver lining. Maybe you're like, hey, you know what? Everything's cool. If that's you, first of all, salute. That's a good way to go through life. And then we'll also hear from Kyle Shanahan. We'll have his full presser here for you in a second. But here's what Nick Bosa said. This is via Nick Wagner of ESPN. Nick Bosa, quote, this is on Arizona's run game success late in the game.
Okay.
They were giving us a different look on the zone read, and I think in all of our losses, the preparation we've had has been great, but teams are playing us different and doing things differently, and we need to adjust a little better. Just showing different looks than what we were looking at on tape. End quote. Maybe I'm reading too far into this. Maybe this is PTSD from last season with the defensive coordinator. This, to me, feels a lot like what we were hearing about Steve Wilks after the Vikings loss on Monday Night Football last season.
Yeah.
Like, it's this, just the in-game adjustments need to be better, this and that. Like, preparation's good, adjustments got to be... Like, that to me is a player trying to call out the coaching staff without trying to call out the coaching staff.
And it's not the first time this year.
No.
This happened against the Vikings this year.
No.
Mooney Ward not guarding Justin Jefferson. Why? Mooney Ward calls him out, while not saying his name directly, calls out Nick Sorensen in the post-game press conference.
Yep.
In the locker room, like, I don't know why I'm not guarding Jefferson. And now you have Nick Bosa, so you have two of your highest paid defensive players calling out your rookie defensive coordinator. So, if anything, the only way to read into that is one of two things. One, fifth game ever calling plays, he's a rookie, he'll grow with time. You don't have time.
Nope.
This is all in. You tried to get Steve Spagnuolo, you tried to get Belichick, and heck, you may not have wanted Steve Wilks. You were in the Super Bowl with him. Travis Kelce had one catch for 1 yard at halftime. Dre Greenlaw pops the Achilles. Everything changes.
Yep.
Like, for all the bad things Steve Wilks did, you were in the game. You were in the dance at the very end.
Yep.
Okay, you let him go. Fine. We all could agree that there were issues last year. Even if they win, there were issues last year. He may have been fired anyways if they win.
Mm-hmm.
On the parade float, for all we know. Like, so you bring in Sorensen, then you also bring in Brandon Staley.
Mm-hmm.
So, what needs to change? Is it, okay, the tape, what we're doing, and how we, you know, are getting ready for games? Or is it maybe there needs to be an actual coaching change? Because it feels like Nick Bosa and Mooney Ward are saying, this guy is over his skis. He didn't know what he's doing. We're not getting the coaching we need to be successful. And that right there through five games is like, they're already questioning, in a way, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's decision to put Nick Sorensen as the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
That's a big statement to make for Nick Bosa.
The irony of all this is the reason Steve Wilks was let go is because he didn't quite see defense the way Kyle Shanahan wanted him to see defense. The front-to-back philosophy where it's pass rush first, going to be really good in the second level, and that way the corners and safeties don't have to do as much. They can just play sound, you know, fundamentally sound football, and everything's fine because the pass rush is getting home. Well, so they bring in Nick Sorensen, who came up under this system. He cut his teeth with Pete Carroll up in Seattle, and he's been with the 49ers for a couple of years now. knows what they want to do defensively, except now they can't do that defensively because they don't have the horses to rush the passer. So yeah. Now they have a guy in there who knows this type of defense in his first year, and it's like, hey, by the way, all of that stuff we wanted you to do, we got to stop doing that because we don't have the personnel to do it. And I don't know if that's irony or bad foresight or what, but I think it's one of their fundamental issues right now is they can't run the defense they want to run, and they have a defensive coordinator, a first-time defensive coordinator, who is having to not only adjust in-game, but trying to adjust everything he knows defensively on the fly mid-season.
Miami walked into the year saying that, wow, Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave, this is the best pass-rushing group they've had maybe ever. Like, they got some mm-hmm. dogs now, right? Maybe since mm-hmm. 2019 when they had Buckner and Armstead and Ford and those guys. But, like, so Bosa's doing his thing for the most part. He got an interception today. Like, oh, my goodness.
It's a nice play.
Wow. Hargrave goes down. Leonard Floyd is playing like a replacement-level edge rusher who I think he may have got a sack today, but, like, okay. You have two or three this year, but, like, your productivity is near the bottom of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Collins has been a nice surprise, been a solid veteran piece, but Yetur Matos then gets hurt before this game, can't go. Now he's on IR. Mm-hmm. You now are almost built to play a Steve Wilks style of defense. You have Charvarius Ward, Lenore, Yadam, for as bad as he's been, he's a body who's played better today than he had in the past.
I agree.
Renardo Green, second round pick. Hufanga's back, Jair Brown second year, George Odom, like you, mm-hmm. your defense is almost more equipped today to play a Steve Wilks style of defense than it has been ever.
Exactly.
And you let the guy go. And it's like, it made sense to do that, but it's like, if that was the case, then why didn't you draft an edge rusher?
Yeah. Yep.
You didn't draft a single defensive lineman at all.
Nope.
Like what's the plan here? If you want to play that style, read and react, then equip your team to be able to do that.
Yep.
They didn't do that.
Nope. Yep. I'm right there with you, man. Mike in Milpitas wants to jump on at 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570 is the number. Mike, talk to me.
Hey, I jumped. Am I in?
Yeah, you're in. What's up, Mike?
Cool. Fire away. Hey, you know, you guys are touching on stuff they don't touch on during the week, you know, Monday through Friday. You won't say who it is. And one of the things that I like to do is, whether I miss the game or not, I like to watch the 49er app highlights. And the plays I think are important in the game, you know, I think a lot of us do this. We watch them, I don't know, I watch them in slow-mo. And I watched at 6 minutes and 20 seconds left in the game, when Mason, they said, fumbled the ball, I watched it four times at 25% total speed.
Oh, damn.
Each time I saw him flat on his back, reach up with his left hand, and he had the ball in his hand, and he reached forward to set it like a half yard further up towards the goal line. It wasn't a fumble. Why did nobody call that for the Niners? He didn't fumble. I can only imagine what he was yelling at the sidelines when he went up to, you know, the coaches and go, I didn't fumble. I was on my back. He didn't fumble. I am 100% sure he didn't fumble. Take a look at it. 6 minutes, 20 seconds left in the game. He fumbles the ball, they say. He's flat on his back. In fact, the guy who had him wrapped around his upper thighs was looking at him reach for the ball. He didn't even get up to go after the ball because he saw him put it on the ground when he reached. It was the other guys that ran towards him from the goal line side. The other thing is, hey, who knows if they would have scored anyway because of the red zone problems. But I do want to give one little prop to Kyle. He didn't bother to just get those 3 points. He said, we got 6:20 left. Let's keep the foot on the gas, and he went for a touchdown. But they got a problem in the red zone, and Brock's doing a lot more than he ever did with his legs, and that's kind of starting to scare me now. But, that's just my take.
Yeah, hey, Mike, thanks for the call, man. I mean this with the utmost respect. I swear, like, I promise you I'm not... Jordan Mason fumbled the hell out of that football, bro.
Yeah, he did. he did.
Way fumbled. I went back because I thought, oh wow, Mike really dove into this. Yeah. Maybe I was, and maybe the NFL, which reviews all turnovers, just flat out missed something, and we got something new to talk about. So
like
I went,
the MLB did last night in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So I just went to the replay. And I'm watching it. I'm frame by framing it. Mike went 25%. I'm like
25.
I'm at 1%. I am frame by frame. My man, that ball, the defensive lineman comes over, chops at the ball. Ball. He hits Mason in the face. Ball comes out. It was a fumble. I wish so badly that we could talk for 15 minutes about like, oh my God, how did nobody see this? He didn't. He fumbled. I'm sorry. He did.
They blew it. No, they got it right.
They 1,000% got it right. I'm looking at. I have it frozen, with Jordan Mason standing up, and the ball not in his hands.
Maybe he was watching it like vertically, so it looked like he was laying on the grass.
Oh but, yeah, maybe. Like he's like no. laying down, maybe, and watching the phone upright. Yeah, no,
right,
maybe.
Right.
No, he definitely fumbled though. So I don't. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not jumping into the conspiracy. There. Sorry, Mike. I wish we could have. Greg in Fairfield. Did Jordan Mason fumble? Greg.
Yeah.
Save us.
Greg.
Hey, what's up, Greg?
Hey, it's all right. You know, someone earlier was mentioning the red zone.
Yeah, we've been talking about it a lot.
That's the Achilles heel right there, is yep. red zone. And the play calling down there. I can't understand why we have a running back who's, averaging about 6 yards per carry, and all of a sudden we get away from the run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got big Trent Williams over there, you got Debo. I just don't understand the play calling. I keep hearing Kyle Shanahan is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my book, you don't become a genius until you win a Super Bowl, like Bill Walsh. Mm-hmm. He was a genius.
Sure.
But it's just frustrating, man, having played ball and you're that close to the goal line and you can't call a running play that's going to get you a couple of yards to score. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, defense wins games, as we've heard over and over the years, and it does. But, you know, you have to get some points, too, you know, to put pressure on the other team,
mm-hmm.
you know. To keep your defense off the field. But, so that's my frustration. I just wanted to echo that.
No doubt. Thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah, like I said, there's a million things wrong with this team right now. They're turning the ball over too much. They are not getting enough stops defensively. They're not rushing the passer, the red zone stuff. And I think the red zone stuff sticks out the most. It just seems like the problem that they should have the most answers readily available. And they apparently have none of them. Also, I thought that it was some creative wordplay by Greg calling red zone offense the 49ers' Achilles heel, given that part of the issue is Christian McCaffrey's out with the Achilles injury. That's a good little play on words by Greg.
Nice, Greg.
Eli. That's good. Eli and Burke. He's got to go.
He was in that sun at Levi's too long. He had too many drinks out there.
Automatic ejection. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's a little
he's
tea.
In Berkeley. He gets the little tea. He might have been out in Berkeley partying since like 3 a.m. yesterday morning.
Well, the NFL game day or the college football game day was out there, right?
That was outstanding by Berkeley. Salute. Tough game for sure for Cal. But sorry, Eli. Wish we could have stuck around.
Someone's drinking in the studio.
I thought that was Sterling. I was like, oh, it's like that. all right, we've been talking a lot about Kyle Shanahan today. Whether it is the red zone stuff, whether it's play calling elsewhere on the field, whether it's personnel decisions, let's hear from the 49ers head coach. Here's Kyle Shanahan's press conference after the 49ers 24-23 loss here on overtime. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen, and of course you at 888-957-9570. Kyle Shanahan post game press conference. Here it is.
I think how you guys were approaching the game, how did you see it, how did the fourth quarter unfold there?
It impacted it, but the biggest thing was those turnovers. you know, the pick to start the series, I mean, to start the second half, and then having that fumble down there inside the 10. Don't know how it would have impacted it later, because I believe that was first down.
Do you have any further information on who Funga and how long he'll be out or what this is?
I'm not sure. Yeah, not sure yet.
Could you tell what happened? Tire? Did you set that at the end there?
No, I didn't. I mean, I sense their guys getting tired. I sense our guys getting tired. It was a long game. Everyone battled. You know, I thought we were wearing them down as we were going down there to run on the first and goal. And then I thought we had a great chance. I thought we did real good on D, stopping them, getting them into that fourth and down. We had an all-out blitz. Thought it was really good defense, but an unbelievable play by their quarterback. He had no one blocked there and just backpedaled and retreated and threw it up and found the right guy that kept him on the field. And then we got a little sloppy with tackling towards the end there, but held him to a field goal and would have loved the chance to go on that drive, but ended up getting another tip there and another turnover.
Could you tell what happened on the blitz pickup on the interception to end the game?
Yeah, they just brought more than we had to block.
What did you see from Brock today?
What
was your assessment of how he performed today?
Like everybody on offense, I mean, we did some good things. I mean, I think we only punted on the first drive, so I thought moved the ball well, but we obviously made too many mistakes, didn't get in the red zone, score enough, and the turnovers hurt us, both two tips, but the guy responsible for the ball.
What's Wisnowski's range? How far do you have to get in order to give him a chance in this game?
We were trying to get to the 15, yeah, make it like extra point.
How much of a factor was this, if at all, in running the ball in the first half? Is that something you were trying to avoid because of the defense? Is that not a factor?
No. Running and pass, I mean, you know, not run the ball because of heat. No, there's just a lot of stuff they were doing and thought our advantage was throwing. Usually it bounces out. Didn't get a chance to do that, though, totally.
Well, this is the second game where you've had a 10-point lead and lost it to both division rivals. What's the frustration level in that room? What's your frustration level not being able to finish out these games?
Extremely frustrated. I think we had 13 points and 17 in the other. By no means should we be able to give that away. Always will come back to turnovers, in my opinion. There's other things you can do to overcome them. Talked about last night how we thought a key in this game would be turnovers, and that's exactly what the first half was. Gave us a huge advantage, and then it flipped in the second half, and when you do that, it's tough to win.
What do you tell Moody how to balance the need to make a tackle versus protecting himself? How do you sort of balance that?
Same as everybody. I mean, you try to tackle. I mean, you don't tell guys to keep their ankle out of it. I mean, you hope that it doesn't come to him and he doesn't have to make a tackle, but you also don't tell guys to turn it down and just let them score. So that's part of football.
How did the heat, I mean, do you feel like the defense kind of wilted? I mean, Connor's been very powerful. Do you feel like the heat had been being late in the game and his power, just kind of the defense was kind of gassed in some ways?
Yeah, I think both ways. I mean, they had 234 yards rushing last time in their dome, so I'm not chalking anything up to heat. I think it evened out. I think it makes that both sides have to deal with the same stuff. You could feel it on long drives. That we could feel it as we got the run game going, too. But James Conner does that a lot, and that's why he's a challenge and gave him too many ops.
You got a really quick game now coming up on Thursday. How do you not let this linger an extra day or two? I mean, have you started that process already?
Yeah, that's all we talked about in there. I mean, we'd love to sit here and get pissed, and we'd love to be able to do something about that, which has happened, but you can't. You can't do anything about these games once they end. I tell the guys the next time we'll be able to do something is Thursday, and it's better to only have to wait till Thursday than have to wait till next Sunday. So we'll come fast, but always when you have a Thursday night game, like, you know, we always say the biggest thing is rest and recovery. So I hope they're getting out of that locker room close to when I get back. Hope they're home as fast as they can, get as much sleep as possible, stay off their legs tomorrow, just hydrate, rest, and come in Tuesday. We'll have a plan for them on Tuesday, and we'll get it all in on Tuesday and head out on Wednesday.
Coach, outside of when everything went downhill, you had a pretty strong game today. What did you see from him?
Did a real good job. Did a good job being man coverage, made some good plays in the zone, had some good run after the catch. He had a good day.
He's been sure-handed throughout his career for the most part when it comes to holding on to the ball. That
also surprise you just in that point of the game where?
Yeah, I'm never thinking that we're going to fumble. But, you know, we had one last week that we were able to recover, and we got one this week. He was, you know, he didn't have any look on the run. There wasn't nothing there, but when you're fighting for extra yards, you got to be smart with that ball, and it looked like he just got a little careless with it, and they knocked it out.
Besides not having, you know, one of the best red zone players in the league, how would you assess the red zone issues you've had a couple this year?
Same thing I said all last week, not very good. I mean, we were middle of the pack before today started, and we got a lot worse today.
How rushed is the process on kickers? I mean, it can't go Thursday, but it's obviously a quick turnaround. You guys get candidates in here tomorrow morning?
Yeah, they'll work on that stuff right away. With kickers, it's, you know, they're almost independent contractors, so we'll get them in as fast as possible and get the best guy we can, and I'm sure it'll have to be for a few weeks, you know, whatever. I'm not sure, but I know they told me a high ankle, and that's never soon.
Now, in a short week, do you guys actually practice, or will it be more of like a walkthrough?
No, yeah, nothing will be full speed. Everything's walkthrough. All right, guys, thanks.
The good news is they won't practice this week. Perfect.
No, honestly, more injuries.
Honestly, man, no, honestly, I think that there's, I don't want to say there's a benefit to them playing on Thursday, but I do think A, having to get right back and into the groove is potentially helpful. I'm trying to find silver linings here. But B, maybe because it all is going to be walkthroughs, maybe you do go, hey, okay, we're just going to focus on red zone. This is an opponent you're familiar with. I know they're doing some different stuff defensively and offensively with a new coaching staff up there in Seattle. So obviously you have to focus on them, but maybe you do in a couple of practices this week go, hey, we're just doing red zone during these walkthroughs. And just really trying to get something down where they feel really good about it for a week or 2 weeks. To me, the biggest thing is you got to start getting Jordan Mason involved in the passing game. I think that's a lot of what's missing right now is so much of these Purdy scrambles are because there's just no check down option. And I know that Christian McCaffrey is like the all-time great touch and check down option, but there's a lot of running backs in the NFL who can just run out into the flat and turn around and put their hands up and make a catch and fall forward for 5 yards.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, who do you blame for that? Is that a Brock Purdy just not trusting Mason? And don't get me wrong, like, CMC is one of the most sure-handed players in football, let alone running backs. But, okay, if he doesn't trust Mason, does he trust Kyle Juszczyk? Does he trust Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad? Like,
oh, maybe.
This is all you got. Like, you gotta freaking use it, man. Like, you don't have other options to look for to... Okay, well, let's plug the receiving back in the game, right? You don't have that luxury right now. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey is the end-all, be-all of the do-it-all running back. But, you know, just like listening to Kyle talk about just you have to flush it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitcher gives up a home run, flush it, get the next guy. Kind of like you were saying, Kyle, where it almost benefits them to have to play Thursday. Yeah, short week, it stinks. You guys are banged up. You played today. It was a grueling game. It was hot. You know, you never know who'll be injured come Tuesday morning, right, when the soft tissue starts to wear down. But you have to flush this entirely. You don't have time to dwell on this. Mm-hmm. Get back to it. Get back in the building. Rest up. Game on Thursday. That is where all your focus goes to. You don't have time to focus on what happened today. Does it suck? Yeah. Should you be 3-2? Sure. But you're not. Win on Thursday, you're back to .500, you beat Seattle, you know, all is well. Like, for this being a terrible loss, and I know the Rams game is one of the more terrible losses in San Francisco's history under Kyle Shanahan, this is a bad one. You can make up for it by beating Seattle on Thursday.
Yeah. That's I'm right there with you. It's really hard to look ahead to Thursday and go, yeah, no, they can go get that one. Especially after feeling how I get the idea of flushing it, and you don't want to linger on it too long and this and that. But at the same time, man, there's some stuff that has to be worked on here that I hope doesn't just get lost in the quick turnaround to Thursday. All right. 888-957-9570. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is Overtime. We're hanging out with you. For a while, we're just hanging out. As long as you guys are calling, we're going to be here. 888-957-9570 if you want to join the conversation here on Overtime. This is 95.7 The Game.